Welcome back to Guys Gabbing Gridiron, everybody. I'm Josh McSwain here with AJ Torres once again this week. We got a lot of stuff to go over in week three. An exciting and yet another confusing week in this early NFL season. One of the strangest games that I've ever seen happen this week whenever the Dolphins got to 3-0 by defeating the Buffalo Bills 21-19. Some things about this game that were odd, well, there's more than one thing, but I'm going to start with the fact the Bills outgained the Dolphins 497 to 212. Yes, that is more than double. But at the end of the day, all that matters is did you have more points than the other team? And the Dolphins did it once again. So I got to put some respect on the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel's done a great job so far. There's good talent on the Dolphins, at least on offense. The defense, some people are saying it's really good. I'm not convinced of that yet. They are definitely doing the bend but don't break, but obviously they were torched by the Ravens in week two. It just doesn't stick out to me as a unit with a lot of elite talent. They might play well together, kind of like the no-name defense that they had in the 70s. But, you know, it's been good enough, and that's all they care about. But I'm not getting too high on that team just yet. Are they a playoff team? No, they look like they should be at this point, but obviously a lot of football left. And then, of course, the strangest thing from that game, never seen a punter punt a ball off his own teammate's rear end.
That is going to be a remembered game, not just because of, division rivalry games are always intense, but the amount of offense produced by the Bills and then cap it off by the butt punt to safety. That's going to be iconic. Same with Jimmy Garoppolo pulling Dan Orlovsky this week, but we'll get to that stuff later. I mean, it was very weird, man. Like in Miami, players have been dehydrated. There's been multiple stars pulled off the field and had to be stretched out, drink water. Tyreek Hill had to be given an IV. Stephon Diggs had to step off because of cramps. I think it was who was the wide receiver that caught the last pass before they couldn't snap the ball?
I think it was Isaiah McKenzie. It was him or Jameson Crowder.
It was McKenzie. I was about to say, that's not McKinney, it's McKenzie. Thank you. I had a brain fart for a moment. But there's two things. Number one, the fact that that guy seemed out of breath and could barely stand up when he's not in the injury report. And again, they kept talking about cramps and dehydration all game. But my thought is, guy, what are you doing? Why are you trying to get 4 yards upfield when go the opposite 4 yards and get your ass out of bounds? What are you doing?
Yeah, that was a great point. Honestly, we heard a lot about the Bills' injuries in the secondary coming into this game. No more Micah Hyde the rest of the year. They had no Jordan Poyer in the game, I'm fairly sure. And I think they lost Dane Jackson, another corner.
Yes.
So I also knew team from the north going to hot, humid Miami that it was not going to be easy. A lot of things were going against the Bills in this game. I was about to switch to the Dolphins, but I was like, I've already said it on the show, I'll just stick with the Bills. Well, I don't know. And the other thing is that you have to remember the one of the touchdowns that the Dolphins got was off a fumble by Josh Allen inside his own 10-yard line. So you had that miscue. You had the missed field goal in the fourth quarter from Tyler Bass. The Bills really have nobody to blame but themselves for that loss.
I mean, at the end of the day, there's just a time where you gotta say, you know what? There's too many mistakes. And what happens when mistake after mistake after mistake costs you? Well, eventually they add up and you lose the football game. Now it was close, but even if you take away that one fumble, even if you take away, McKenzie running out of bounds, you still have no idea if that game is going to be a victory for them or not. It was just so close the entire game, which is unfathomable because on paper, look at the statistics. If you look at the stats without the score, you think Buffalo just blew them out of the water.
Yes, you
I
would.
mean, all the offensive yards, and even with all those injuries, it looked more even than meets the eye.
True, very true on that.
A lot of people lost the survivor pool because of that.
I didn't.
Me, I got knocked out last week picking Cleveland.
Really?
Yes.
How about that?
Well, think about it. Joe Flacco didn't have a comeback drive in over 6 years. I was as confident in Joe Flacco as my confidence of winning the lottery.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm still up. I had the Bengals in eliminator this week. And week two, I'm pretty sure I had the Broncos. But I digress on that point. So,
Ironically,
anyways, regarding the Bills, they held the Dolphins to 212 yards despite all their injuries on the back end. That's a real testament to Leslie Frazier and just the great job that he's done with this unit. I would be
absolutely.
shocked if he's not a head coach again next year. The thing is, I don't even feel like his tenure in Minnesota was all that bad. He did make the playoffs once, but he was also working with a relatively limited roster outside of Adrian Peterson. So I
And
think
who is
he's
the
going to get another
quarterback at that time?
chance. Maybe Eric Bieniemy will get his. I don't know. Let's not get too far down that rabbit hole.
Well, I think we got to get to around week 12 before we're talking about head coaches jumping ship. Although, this is just me. I absolutely hate it when there's competitive teams and it's playoff time. And it's like, hey, I'm preparing to see if I could win this game and hopefully we could go to a Super Bowl. Hey, Eric, how'd the job interview go with this team? Oh, it went great, man. Thank you. I that's one thing I hate in all sports. Like, if you are active and you are serving a job, just so it's equal competition for everybody, just wait until the off season, wait until after the Super Bowl. Because me personally, I think it's a big distraction. Like, you hear it all the time. It's like, hey, he is officially hired to take this job as head coach after he's serving offensive coordinator for this team this postseason. I've always found it odd and just disturbing. All sports.
Right. But speaking of Eric Bieniemy, we're going to get to your Chiefs now.
There's a couple of things I could say here, and one guy told me, he goes, you lost because of kicking. And I said, okay, that's fair. Did Danny Amendola leave 4 points on the board? Yes. But there is one thing I gotta say, and that is, if you're going by clock management, did you really think that in that 2 minute warning, yeah, do I have faith with Matt Ryan in the 2 minute drill in the red zone? I don't, but eventually something's got to give. And why are you trying to tackle a guy in the end zone when he's got the ball in his hands? You try and block the ball. You don't try and tackle the guy in the end zone in the middle of a catch. You just don't do it. It doesn't work. But my whole thing is, there was some time during that 2 minute drill where the Colts scored where Andy Reid could have called a timeout. Because what happens? Come on, dude. You got a top three quarterback in the game right now. Have your offense with a little time on the clock. And mind you, there's all three timeouts in within the last 2 minutes. And he used one on the final drive before the bad ball and the pick. I think Barrett time management could have saved it. I saved that because, listen, kicking is kicking. We see people miss extra points. Heck, Justin Tucker, I would say undisputably the best kicker in the league, right?
Right.
He recently missed an extra point. Shocking.
Yeah, it happens.
Right? So if Justin Tucker could miss an extra point, the god himself, the future Hall of Famer, then we can give somebody a pass occasionally for missing an extra point. There was move right. back to eliminate gimmies. There's no more gimmies for the extra point. This isn't, right. hey, it's scored, it's confirmed, I'm grabbing a beer. No, you stay for the extra point. It's just how it goes. With that said, I'm taking the kick in out of it to be fair because, listen, it is what is. Harrison Butker hurt. We need a guy in his place. I'm not saying Justin Reed needed to be a dual player, even though that would be awesome to watch. Still, concept here.
Would the be, but yeah, I don't think we're going to see a Jim Thorpe type guy anytime soon.
Correct. Now, would I love to see him have a pick six and then line up his own extra point? Oh, of course. If only.
Right.
But not for nothing. That's what got me. There's so many times, and again, that was my theme the other week, where it is do not let off the gas. Don't let the other team get comfortable. To my surprise, I know he's on the injury report, and Jonathan Taylor just today missed his first practice in his whole entire career.
Okay.
His whole entire NFL career, first time he missed a practice was today, September 28th, 2022. Give the man a lot of credit. Hurt or not, the Chiefs were able to stop him. I was surprised. I thought he was going to run down our throat all day long. I really did. But to my surprise, you let Matt Ryan belittle you, challenge you. And to me, listen, this wide receiver core ain't great. This quarterback is old and just okay. How is our defense, it not even including Willie Gay, because he's not a guy that's going to be in pass coverage. You let Matt Ryan and the Colts receivers and tight ends, including one, you know, Brown, a guy I've never heard of, you let him stomp all over us. Everybody needs to be held accountable on this one because it was a combination of just everything.
Yes, indeed. Also, at the end of the first half, if I remember right, Mahomes seemed like he wanted to go for it, but Bieniemy just kind of packed it in, just went to the locker room.
That drives me crazy. If you remember Super Bowl 51, it was the Chiefs and 49ers.
You mean 54?
54, I'm sorry. If you remember, there was that big pass to George Kittle, and it was called P.I., and they decided not to run another play. They kneeled and went to the locker room. And everybody said that came back to bite him, at least run one more play. Because they're already halfway down the field.
That's an interesting situation. I can see why you might just take the knee. But, I mean, you could throw one into the end zone.
Well, my thought was, if you're already around, you're in between the 40s. So my thought is one quick play, and since you got a capable kicker, why the hell not just try one? Time expires. If you get it, great. If not, at least you tried. Because in the biggest right. show in American sports, you got to try. You can't just say, screw it, we're going to the locker room. You ran a play. You got PI. You got downfield by default because of the penalty. And with that, what do you come up with afterwards while the defense is crapping their pants? You take a knee. Come on.
Right. But also with the Chiefs, the missed extra point was pretty much nullified with the two-point conversion later. Yes, there was the missed field goal, but also the fumble by Sky Moore on the punt return that gave the Colts their first touchdown. All around, special teams bit the Chiefs in this one. And then Chris Jones jawing on the final drive. That just was not good.
I mean, everything was just in disarray. Like, there's a lot of things that I'm just, as a Chiefs fan, I'm just a little frustrated about. Now, listen, I've seen Tyreek Hill muffle punt in the playoffs, and they came back, and it was actually against your Texans. I will not rub it in because there's a time where you might say to yourself, that was the last time I liked my team, which there's some Texans fans that actually say, I didn't have faith in my team after, you know, Mahomes basically came down and made us look foolish until Mahomes became the comeback kid. But, you know, I'm looking at my team. I want to see if George Karlaftis will develop. I haven't heard Frank Clark much all year, and he's supposed to be, you know, lost weight, I'm back, restructured contract. Willie Gay being out hurt, but Nick Bolton had a good game. You know, the secondary, I mean, it can be inconsistent at times, and as I said, that's a lot. It's a lot of pain. Sky Moore, I think it was a little bit of the yips, but, you know, that's one thing where I was very confused, where my thought at the time was I wanted Christian Watson, personally, just because okay. I said I wanted a guy that was more physical. Still a speed guy, but a little more physical. But Sky Moore is here, seems like a good guy, and I'm supporting him. I am. I think that the way he's going to do this is he's got to bounce back. Him and Hardman could relay something like that because he's had mistakes and Mahomes has picked him right up. He's still adjusting to this offense and giving the green light. Let's move past this. Got a lot of work to go. It's far from perfect. Get back in the groove. We're going to need it. Ugh.
Right. Well, this leads me into my next point, which was last week I said that the AFC South was really bad. Through 2 weeks, they only had one victory, and it was by the Jaguars over a divisional opponent. This week they had three teams taking on three teams from the AFC West, which we all thought was the best division in the league, and all the South teams won. You had the Jaguars, who absolutely demolished the Chargers. And then the Titans held on to defeat the Raiders. I got a text from a friend. Are the Jaguars actually good?
You know, let's say this. Do they have talent? Yes. And if you look at it, if you look at the weapons they have, the wide receiver core is Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, and Marvin Jones. That's not bad.
Yeah, Zay certainly not an elite guy, but you actually got to give some credit to Christian Kirk so far. I thought it was just another overpaid free agent signing, but so far he's got 267 receiving yards through three games, three touchdowns. Maybe they knew what they were doing better than we thought. Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, averaging over 9 yards per catch. It's pretty good.
At this point, I mean, the running back duo is solid. James Robinson is getting light again. Travis Etienne is getting comfortable. That guy reminds me of Darren Sproles a lot. So really, offensively, this is really just in the hands of Trevor Lawrence and the offensive line. And the Chargers, yeah, they crap their pants.
Yes,
and
they
if
did.
You look at how many guys are hurt on that team, have you seen the injury report?
Oh, it's massive.
Guyton, ACL, done. Slater, torn bicep, done. Keenan Allen, hamstring, hasn't played in two games. Justin Herbert, cracked ribs, day to day. And we have no idea how long that's going to last. You know how much, listen, I'm a Chiefs fan, but I'm going to be a football fan here and I'm just going to be a person. Do you have any idea how much anxiety I have about this being bad, like what happened to Andrew Luck with his ribs? You know, hey, he's got rib issue going on, and sure enough, something organ is going to be lacerated. I'm scared for the guy. I am.
Right. It's never good when a promising young talent has such a bad injury like that. But you talked about the offensive line. Trevor Lawrence has only been sacked twice so far this season. And the Jags defense pass rush was kind of a question mark coming into this season. They have 7 sacks through 3 games, led by Josh Allen with 2 sacks. So, I mean, this is a team that seems to be promising under Doug Peterson. Of course, first month of the season, I try not to get too high or too low because things can obviously change on a dime. So I told my friend we'll have to see on it, but I think some good stuff is happening with that team. Now, moving on to the Raiders and the Titans.
Oof.
Raiders nearly came back, but just couldn't get the two-pointer to finish it off and tie the game. They're now 0-3
The only 0-3.
in the AFC or the whole league.
I believe the whole league.
Huh.
Well, because if we have an 0-2-1,
That is correct. We do.
if look at it, it's the only 0-3 team.
You're right. I thought there was an 0-3 in the NFC, but there is not.
Yes, I thought about that too. And scary enough, I can't believe the Bears are 2-1. And I'm sorry, but that offense is garbage. As much as I hate to say it, but you see the stat line. Justin Fields has a hard time completing his passes. Offensive line still in shambles. Defense is holding up, but that offense, oh my goodness. You could take the slosh game week one out of it. Garbage. Absolute garbage.
Right. I mean, they got the run game with Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery going, but that's about it. Like, their
Yeah.
offense is like something out of the 80s, and I mean the 1880s, when football was
Yeah.
just beginning.
Yeah. It's like, hey man, the player of the game, we got 50 yards today. Want a cookie? Not only that, in fantasy, guess who was on my bench?
Khalil Herbert.
Yep. Pain.
Indeed.
My goodness, he's in my flex this week. I have to.
Yeah, with especially with Montgomery's injury, Herbert is a must start,
I hate to
in
say
my
it, but I
opinion.
mean, David Montgomery, every single year you expect something to happen where he's out for 4 to 6 weeks every year.
Pretty much.
I mean, running backs go so quick in fantasy where everybody's like third stringers, so I got him late in some rounds, and now I regret nothing.
Fair enough. Moving on, the showdown between Rodgers and Brady was kind of a slow
Boring.
burn.
Boring.
Not a lot of offense in that one. Packers were dominant in the first half. Then we had the Aaron Jones fumble that kept Brady alive. Well, Brady and the Bucks alive. And Brady doesn't do any. Well, he didn't get a touchdown until the final drive. And it was
Which,
just kind of like, where did that come from? I mean,
so
I know it's Brady, and it's like, yeah, crunch time, he'll always come to another level, but it was just like, wow, where has this been all this time?
although, have you noticed that this typical Brady fashion type of ending didn't actually happen like it usually does?
Yeah, the delay of
If,
game penalty.
even before that, it's underneath 2 minutes. Tom Brady is in the end zone with less than a minute to go, Gee, what's going to happen if you read this Tom Brady fairy tale? Oh, goodness, there's a penalty. It's inside the five. He's going to run a play. Touchdown. Ooh, now we're going for two, and he's going to send this into overtime. Oh, delay a game. And I'm holding my breath as it's going because I'm like, oh, don't tell me flag's going to come out. But then they say, he goes, no flag. And I'm going, oh my goodness. Because my fear was Brady winning the toss and shoving it down the Packers' throats, and we'd be talking about a Brady overtime win. I'm glad that that boring game didn't turn into the Brady show. Just terrible, though. After the first quarter of good offensive drives, nothing. Just inconsistency and guys trying to figure out what they have. And I mean, Brady, I mean, he's using Cole Beasley, Scotty Miller. I mean, his outside of Leonard Fournette, his weapons were basically from the parking lot.
Yeah, Jalen Darden, their punt returner,
Yeesh.
and Breshad Perriman, who's bounced around a lot.
Plumber.
Don't know. I mean, he's been in the league a while with the Ravens and the Jets, but oh
Not
well.
exactly, too much of a weapon, I know.
Fair. Then you have the NFC East. You had the Eagles just roll over the Commanders. Jalen Hurts might be league MVP right now. A lot of people have talked about Lamar, and deservedly so. Lamar's been off the charts, but still, 3-0, Hurts getting it done on the ground, through the air. Some respect here is definitely due.
I think he's second in MVP at the moment. I go Lamar, then Hurts, respectively, because as far as I'm concerned, Lamar doesn't play defense, and it's not his fault that his DBs decide to give up three touchdowns in the span of a few minutes.
Touche. And then we had the Monday night grind between the Cowboys and the Giants. Wasn't really sure what to expect out of that because I thought, well, I was on Cowboys Talk with our man Alex Alcazaz, aka the Bear of Texas. Shout out to that. I'll leave that in the description below in case you're interested in checking it out after the fact. But I said the Cowboys have two strengths that go right into the Giants' weaknesses. Number one, the Giants' pass blocking is terrible. And you got Micah Parsons, who tears opposing offensive lines up. And
For
you also have
illness.
a terrible Giant run defense that was giving up almost 5 yards a carry. And then you got Cowboys' run game with Pollard and Zeke that can really get it done. However, I stuck with the Giants just because of my rule, where if I pick against a team twice and they win both times, I stick with them. Cooper Rush, for all that people say about him, he is capable of getting it done. He is what a
I agree.
backup should be.
I
So, I
agree.
mean, I was really torn about that one. I stuck with the Giants, and I still felt like they did a decent job overall. They're a team that competes. They fight hard, but yeah, they're just lacking talent in a lot of areas. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but maybe in 2023, Big Blue could do something. You're up in that area. What did they say after the game from the Giants' perspective?
Well, actually, one thing that really could have changed the momentum early is Cooper Rush threw a very good ball to CeeDee Lamb right in the breadbasket, and he dropped that SOB so badly.
Yep.
If that was any other wide receiver, like if that was Tyreek Hill, if that was Stephon Diggs, if that was Devontae Adams, they would be getting reamed. because CeeDee Lamb doesn't have that big contract yet, he got a pass. But to my surprise, it was actually a lot closer than I thought. But again, Daniel Jones hasn't been able to get the offense going. Brian Daboll is trying. The defense is holding up. The defensive line isn't great at the moment, even though it was really Kayvon Thibodeau's just debut, so he's still got to get his feet wet and his hands dirty. There's definitely progress to be made. There's definitely good signs, but the Cowboys were a better team. And when you look at Cooper Rush, well, let's just put it to you this way. He's an undefeated quarterback this year, like it or not.
That's very true. Well, I think that wraps up thoughts from week three. Let's give our picks for week four now. Open up with a Thursday night matchup with the Dolphins going to Cincinnati. Who you got?
So I'm going with the Dolphins on this one. It's not because of the 3-0 record. My thought is this. If Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are both healthy, I know Waddle has some sort of concern. I think it's a ankle maybe. Anywho. Who is going to defend all those weapons? I don't know. To me, it points towards the Dolphins. And their running game has gotten better, which is the scary part. Chase Edmonds looked legit against Buffalo.
Yep.
I think
sure
it's
did.
His time. I think it's his time. The Bengals are still trying to recoup, but I got news for you, Cincy. The Jets aren't exactly a talented bunch where you could say, hey, we won, we got together, and we feel confident. Miami looks legit. And if Tua is the real deal, he's going to show it, and he's going to show it against Cincy.
Right. So after going against the Fins three straight times, not doing it again, I'm sure if any Dolphins fans hear this, they'll blame me for dooming their team.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So now we got our first London game between the Vikings and the Saints.
Oh, boy. Well, I hate to say it, but this is another spotlight type of moment. So, ring the men on the telly and give me the Saints.
Well, I'm going against you on this one. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I don't know what famous Jameis is going to be like in this one. He's been banged up the past couple of weeks. Picked him twice. They've lost twice in a row, so I have to go with Minnesota.
Hey, I understand. Although this is going to be interesting. But again, this is going to be a, hey, all the light and spotlight is on you, Kirk. What are you going to do?
Especially if Dalvin Cook is out.
Dalvin Cook, Captain Fragile. Well, my thought is, how's J-Jets going to do in London?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a time where it's going to be on the other guys because Jefferson will be seeing a lot of Marshawn Lattimore.
Well, we know how that's going to go.
Right, but it's not Mike Evans, so we don't anticipate there being any fighting.
Yet.
Right.
Who else you got?
But yeah, next up we got... Well, before we leave there, I just want to say the Saints could very easily be 0-3 right now. They lost two games in a row fairly badly, and they squeaked by Atlanta, who was our next pick for this week, as they host the Browns.
Ooh, I mean, we know that the Falcons are building, but after... I just don't know if I could trust Atlanta at the moment. I just don't know if I can. And this Jacoby Brissett experiment is working much better than I thought. I'm going to take Cleveland because really, I don't see Atlanta stopping Chubb and Amari Cooper.
Fair enough. I also have the Browns. Even with Myles Garrett being somewhat uncertain after that car accident on Monday,
Did you see
I
his
still think
car?
I did not.
Dude, I let me sh send you a picture of his Porsche right now because I remember getting something from The Athletic that said non-life-threatening injuries. But
Really?
you look at the car and you say to yourself, I just sent it to you. I've
Yeah, I
looked
see
at him
it.
and I'm like, non-life-threatening? How the hell the man, how's he alive? I identify that man as a tank.
Right. I mean, I was just saying earlier today that the Browns were hopeful that he could play in this game. Regardless, I'm with you on Chubb. He's just unstoppable right now. But you got to give some respect to the Falcons, though. They were close against the
I
Saints,
do.
close against the Rams, finally got a victory in Seattle. I just think Cleveland is a little better. And I've entertained the thought, wouldn't it be hilarious if the Browns were in playoff contention after 11 games? Brissett's doing the job. Watson can play, but they're like, nah, we're good. Would you think about that? I would have to give some serious thought to that down the road
Well,
if that happens, because, like, you know what's working, even if you paid Watson a gajillion dollars.
actually, if you think about it, I kind of looked at this schedule, right? So hear me out here, okay? One against the Panthers, lost against the Jets, one against the Steelers, and from here on, at Falcons, Chargers. If Herbert is going to be out because he's hurt, that's winnable. Hosting the Patriots at Ravens, Bengals, at Dolphins, at Bills, Bucks, at Texans, at Bengals, Ravens, Saints, Commanders, Steelers. And considering how that division is such a complicated phenomena, it's possible. It really is possible for Deshaun to come back. And again, he hasn't played in X amount of time. But imagine Deshaun coming back for, let's see, December 4th. Is that possible? Or, I mean, just seeing around here, right? Coming back in December because it's 12 games, right?
11.
Oh, 11. Okay, so there would be six more games left. His first game eligible to be back would be at Texans.
Of course.
December 4th at Texans, and then at Bengals, Ravens, Saints, come at Commanders, at Steelers. I mean, the football gods might be saying, I hate to bring it in because I'm just going to say the man's garbage, but well, for personality. But it's doable. It's a lot more doable than I'd like to admit.
Fair.
I have anxiety over this because Deshaun might come back and say, thank you for being the Carson Wentz, but I'm the captain now and I man this football team. You know, like Mick Foltz eventually being the daddy of Tom Brady, you know, co-parented with Eli Manning.
Right. Well, anyway, next up, we got the Commanders at the Cowboys. My rule comes into effect again. Cooper Rush experience. Give me the boys.
I can't go with Washington right now. Give me the Cowboys. It's just simple. And I hate to say it, but the charm of Riverboat Ron is really starting to get old. It just is.
Yeah.
Cowboys all day, and the Commanders are gonna lay flat. And being a Micah Parsons fantasy football owner, hoo boy, I want it. Give me the Cowboys. I expect a big production from Micah Parsons if this flu or illness or whatever is out of his system, which I hope so. I need him.
Right. Next up, we got the Seahawks at the Lions.
Ooh.
Think you can guess what I think about this.
Tough, but give me Lions.
Yep, fighting Dan Campbell's all day for me. Next up, we got a divisional showdown, the Titans at the Colts.
Really? Huh.
Really.
So tough, so tough, so tough. I can't believe I'm saying this, but give me Colts.
I'm going with the Titans.
And I could understand that.
I think Vrabel's a better coach than Frank Reich is, even though Derrick Henry is, on the downside. I just got a feeling Tennessee in this one. Next up, we got a showdown between two mirror images of one another, Bears at the Giants. You have two quarterbacks who probably run better than they throw. Two teams that are 2-1 to the surprise of many people.
Give me the Giants.
I got the Giants too, mainly because they're at home. That was really just about it.
We'll see.
Next up, a spicy showdown between the Jaguars and the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Sorry, Doug Peterson. I don't see a revenge game. Give me Eagles.
Well, I've gone against the Jaguars 3 times. Was right the first time, wrong twice. I'll go with the upset. Give me the Jaguars.
Oomph.
Like you talked about, Doug Peterson's revenge.
Doug Peterson revenge game? Well, I'd never. All right, next.
Jets at the Steelers.
Yeah. Give me Steelers.
Me too, even though Trubisky is tepid. We'll have Zach Wilson back for the first time. Steelers D, even without TJ Watt, takes the day in this one.
I agree. I think the MILF Hunter is going to be very acquainted with Cameron Hayward all game long.
Agreed. Next up, we got a spicy showdown with the Bills at the Ravens.
Yikes. Well, with so many injuries to the secondary, I'm gonna go with Lamar here, going Ravens.
Well, considering how bad the Ravens secondary has been this year, I'm gonna roll with Allen and the Bills. It's fair, two very even teams we got here, both contenders in the AFC. I just think that Sean McDermott is doing a better job than John Harbaugh is right now. And I think McConnell would always tell you that Greg Roman is still there. So despite Lamar's potentially Herculean effort, still got that weight around his ankle.
Hey, I had a question, and I think this would really rile up every Ravens fan, Steelers fan, and Cowboys fan.
Okay.
You have to give one man the keys to play calling. Greg Roman, Matt Canada, and Keelan Mond. Who do you got?
Oh boy.
I see the reaction on your face, and it's priceless. It's so blank. I just see a blank stare of, oh my God, why? You're telling me to paddle in a river with no oar.
Can I just say, forget all of them and I'm gonna do it?
Yeah,
Okay.
I'll accept that answer.
Sheesh.
I'll accept that answer because I won't put that torture on you. Oh man.
All right, continuing on. Chargers at the Texans.
If the Chargers are going to start Herbie, give me Chargers.
Yeah, this is another time where my rule comes back to not be good for me. Picked the Chargers the last 2 weeks and they've lost both times. However, as you've seen, I will make exceptions to the rule, and with the Bengals last week, it paid off. Davis Mills has just not looked very good through three games. I mean, the Texans' defense has played pretty well. It's just such a mystery as to how Herbert will be, but I think that lightning won't strike twice. I was there when the Texans beat the Chargers late last year, effectively keeping them out of the playoffs. I just don't think it happens again. Chargers, you're at the end of your rope. What you got?
You really want that answer?
Well, usually it's not anything good. I
A
mean,
team,
this will
a
be a close
team.
one, I think.
Well, somebody said this, and I think it was Barry, and he said, "Listen, I think we all know whether if he's healthy or if he's got bad ribs at the moment, that Justin Herbert is a very talented quarterback." But there's going to be a time and place where everyone's just going to sigh and cross their arms and say, okay, when are we going to start winning football games? Because it just seems that where if you want to put on the coaching, the play calling, the injury bug that there happened, like something's in the water in the Chargers camp in Los Angeles, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, especially when they needed it, have just lost a lot of key important games.
Right.
If you look all the way last year and even his rookie year, how many times did it look like this is Chargers game and they looked like they pulled the Atlanta Falcons multiple times where they let off the gas and it looked like when they try to make it back, they forgot how to play football.
Mean, admittedly, it has happened. So, my ultimate question, are you going with the Chargers or not?
I am going with the Chargers, but I am very skeptical of that answer because of not just injuries, but can Justin Herbert finish a damn game healthy but productive? We're waiting to see it again.
Yeah, that's a good question. Moving on, we got an interesting matchup with Arizona at Carolina.
Ouch.
I'm going Cardinals. I just trust Murray a lot more than Mayfield, back-to-back Heisman winners and number one overall picks. Mayfield finally got in the win column this past week.
I want to go Panthers here, but one thing my father explained it to me is you kind of notice that the most of the stats with Kyler Murray come in the second half. He refers to Kyler Murray as a second half player, which I have no idea how well that's going to go around, but this is going to be a closer game than anybody thinks. But
Probably.
I'm going to go Cardinals. I think it's going to be closer than people think, mind you. And I'm concerned because have you noticed Christian McCaffrey seems back?
Yes.
Back-to-back hard yard games.
Yeah, you just wonder how long is it going to keep up. Also, you wonder with the Cardinals secondary. Do you think DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson could have big days? I think it's possible.
I think it's very possible, but also you could argue the fact that Kyler Murray, I mean, Shim, I think is going to have a couple of good tackles. I don't think he'll have a pick, but the wide receiver weapons are a lot more productive than you think. I mean, Hollywood Brown had a good day for a guy that didn't score a touchdown.
Sure did. Greg Dortch has done very well as well.
I was about to say Dortch because nobody heard the guy's name. Not that I remember. I don't remember hearing Dortch's name until week one, and that's because they blame Hopkins being out. And I
Right.
mean, even though Christian Kirk had jumped ship in free agency, AJ Green has been called on a little bit, Isabella not so much. They got guys and Kyler knows how to spread the ball, and can they defend a running quarterback? Kyler hasn't ran much, but against the Raiders, well, we saw how he made everybody look completely just idiotic to the point where they have to reevaluate their lives.
Right. Anyways, moving on. We got the Patriots at the Packers.
Oh, I gotta
No
say
Mac
the
Jones here. It's easy. All day Packers.
I'm concerned about who's healthy, but I'm taking Packers.
Very good. Next up, Denver at Las Vegas.
In a 425 spot.
Broncos offense is anemic. They've not scored more than 16 points in a game, which is lower than the lowest output of the Raiders this season. But once again, my rule comes back. Raiders have lost 2 weeks where I picked them, so I'm going with the Broncos.
I'm gonna go I almost said Oakland. I'm gonna go the Raiders on this one. I'm going with Vegas. I think this dry spell is gonna have to end eventually, and why not have it end against the pompous man of Broncos country?
Possibly.
Now I'm hoping that one key factor and one guy that's been on the radar all year is Mac Hollins. If he's on the waiver wire, try and experiment with it. I mean, was with the Dolphins last year and has been even more productive than Devontae Adams. Hard to believe, huh?
It is hard to believe. Continuing on, we've got your Chiefs playing the Buccaneers at a location that's TBD due to Hurricane Ian.
First off, I'd like to say for any of our listeners in the area, we wish all of you to please be safe. I cannot stress that enough, number one. And number two, this is very tough, especially this is going to bring back flashbacks for Mahomes, but I'm still thinking that the weapons are going to lack a little bit. I'm going to go Chiefs, and I'm biting the bullet on this one too.
Okay.
I want to say Chiefs, but one can hope. I know every time Mahomes faces Brady, it brings me PTSD. That's what it does.
Easy to see why. This one is a really tough one to pick. We still don't know the health of many of the Buccaneers. Targets with Julio or Chris Godwin. Mike Evans will be back. Donovan Smith, is he going to be back? How is the interior of the Bucs offensive line going to hold up against Chris Jones? Many questions here, but also who's going to step up and be that playmaker for the Chiefs, the Mahomes' go-to guy? Is it going to be Kelce? But I don't think he can rely on Kelce all the time. He's got to be able to trust one of these receivers to make a play. Buccaneers defense has been really great so far. I just don't know against the spread that the Chiefs have if it'll be enough. And what is the Buccaneers offense capable of? Doubting Brady is something to do at your own peril. But I'm gonna go with the Chiefs.
And you gotta stay away from the midfield on this game too, because those guys between Devin White and Lavonte David, those are the best linebacker bros in the game right now. Though, like, if you try and run Clyde Edwards-Helaire up the gut and one of those guys will meet him, oh, Clyde is going to be in for a day. Like,
Yeah, it's going to be hard to do to begin with because you got to get past Vita Vea.
yeah, I'm saying if that anything midfield, those two guys there, I'm scared.
Yeah, Buccaneers front seven, arguably the best in the league. But I think the offensive line is going to be better than it was in Super Bowl 55, which will give Mahomes the time to make the plays. That's what I think is going to happen. We'll see.
I mean, personally, I give if everybody is healthy on the defense, I give the Bucks the top three defense in the league.
Very well could be. And the last one, we got the Rams going to San Fran to take on the 49ers.
You know, I'm gonna go 49ers here.
Okay, interesting.
Listen, I understand what the Rams are, but I keep looking at this Rams offense, right? Just go by the offense perspective by itself. And if you want to go defensive, I'll get that in a minute. But this offense has a triple crown wide receiver, a capable quarterback, you could say top 10 at any given point, offensive line adjustments or not. This offense isn't as good as it should be. It doesn't, I don't care if it's play calling, I don't care if it's not turn on the jets enough. This offense is we're going to run the ball and hope to God that our running backs don't fumble. And where's Cooper Kupp? That's the game plan. And it's been too repetitive. It's been weak. This 49er defense, I think, is going to be able to lock them down, and then they're going to have to try and figure out a strategy that they're not comfortable with. They forgot that they have Allen Robinson on the field, and he hasn't seen much action at all this year. It just seems to be Cooper Kupp and a bunch of guys that are disguised to look like Cooper Kupp. Then Allen Robinson and Tyler Higbee. The offense does not look as great as it should be. You kind of look at all the games played so far and you went, wait, they made a Super Bowl? It's crazy. The 49ers
Right.
are going to, I think, once you have Jalen Ramsey, he's going to go up to, he's probably going to align himself up with Debo Samuel. Look out
Probably.
for Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. I hope that the one thing that's always been such a bugger is Kittle's health. If he's healthy, I could see him having a day. Because Jalen Ramsey can't be everywhere, and he's been the only reliable defender on that team.
I still got Aaron Donald, still have to worry about.
Well, I mean, pass rush is pass rush, but once the ball is in the air, he can't cover.
No, he cannot.
So it's Jalen Ramsey, and who else is going to step up to the plate? Who's going to step up to the plate that you have confidence in? Right now, I can't name him. There's been a wanted list for a guy to show up, and when it matters, seems to be falling short. I don't trust the Rams right now. I give momentum going to the 49ers.
All that is fair, but you look back at the NFC Championship game, the Rams finally broke the curse against the Niners. I think they keep it going with this one. I'm not sure that either team is that great right now. Maybe Jimmy G pulls out another great performance. He sure didn't look very good in Denver. So yeah, I'll stick with the Rams, but hesitantly.
All right.
All right, then. So, just wrapping it up here. Reminder, you can follow us on Twitter, Guys Gabbin Gridiron, and we're also going to have this show up on YouTube. and any other place you get your podcasts, you can listen. So on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.